Psalm 22 is appropriately read on Good Friday. It's a day Christians remember the events surrounding Jesus' death on the cross at the hands of the Romans after being betrayed by the leaders of his own people. The psalm encompasses both the grief and the hope of the passion of Christ. Between the four gospel accounts of the crucifixion, Psalm 22 is cited or alluded to at least five times. Close to his death, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He's quoting the first line of Psalm 22, which would have evoked the words of the entire poem to those Jewish hearers so familiar with the Psalms. This is a psalm of individual lament, which is not just a cry to the Lord of profound despair in the face of great suffering, but Psalm 22 is also a claim of great faith, even in the midst of that suffering. In both the psalmist and Jesus' time of trouble, though, God is seemingly silent. But the psalm claims faith that God is ruling and reigning, even when he isn't seen or felt in the moment, by looking back and looking forward. I wonder how true of that is that for us. Do we claim faith when God seems silent in our suffering? Do we remember what he has done in the past and hope for what he will do in the future? There is always suffering among the people of God, but particularly now, when we suffer apart from one another in this global pandemic not experienced in any of our lifetimes. Psalm 22 has two parts. The first 21 verses are primarily a desperate prayer for help. And in the second half of the psalm, there's a shift to praise. In the first 11 verses, which we read today, there are two complaints, both followed by a confession of trust in God. "Why are you so far from my cry and from the words of my complaint? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear." Now the confession there of trust is corporate. "Our fathers hoped in you. They trusted in you, and you delivered them. They called upon you and were delivered." The second complaint begins in verse 6. "I am a worm and no man, scorned by all and the outcast of all the people." The confession of trust in God there is personal. "But you are he that took me out of my mother's womb. You were my hope when I was yet upon my mother's breast." God cares for us both as a people and each of us individually. Verses 12 through 21 evoke more of the psalmist's complaints, including those of physical weakness. They evoke, in the Christian, the crucifixion scene. "I was poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My tongue cleaves to my gums. They pierced my hands and feet. I can count all of my bones." This section also describes the casting of lots for clothing, which is indeed done by the Roman soldiers to the seamless garment of Jesus. The second part of the psalm, though, turns to praise. There is assurance that God hears our cries and he answers. The psalmist remembers God's help in the past in times of trouble and for those oppressed and those in need. And then he looks ahead to his favor in future generations. And though the original setting of Psalm 22 is not the passion of Jesus, its messianic understanding comes from the psalm's description of great suffering and the expansive declaration of hope. Now, we don't usually have a problem with hope, but the whole idea of great suffering is hard for us. Deep down, I think many of us expect that if we are faithful to God, he will take away our suffering. We want to prosper and not be harmed, but that isn't always the case. Suffering is part of being human. Suffering was the way of redemption for Jesus, and suffering has meaning for us as well. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote that the weakness and suffering of Christ was and remains a reversal of what the religious man expects from God. The cross, though, is central to our faith. Suffering is at the heart of Christianity. The key to understanding Jesus is his crucifixion and resurrection. There is no resurrection without the passion. There is no victory without the crucifixion. On Good Friday, there is no relief from pain and suffering. There is light, though, not today, but the crucifixion and the resurrection are entwined. Tony Campolo wrote in a famous sermon, "It's Friday, but Sunday is coming." I want you to hold on to that. In the dark days of this pandemic, in the suffering of sick and dying, in the sense of dread and anxiety most of us are feeling, I'm preaching on Good Friday to an empty church building, and Bill will preach resurrection sermon on Sunday to an empty church building. The church, though, is not a building. It is you, and it is me. It is God's people living in God's kingdom. Remember Psalm 22. There is suffering, but it is followed by trust, by praise, by hope. Remember that both on this Good Friday and in this metaphoric Friday we are all living in, there will be a Sunday. There will be good news again. I want you to hold on to that. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.